You are listening to Kapiti Poets, a programme highlighting both established and up-and-coming writers of poetry on the Kapiti Coast. Welcome to this episode of Kapiti Poets, funded by the Creative Community Scheme via Kapiti Coast District Council, by the New Zealand Poetry Society, and by generous donors via the boosted crowdfunding platform. I'm your host, Ingrid Prosser, performance poet from Paraparaumu, and I'm very happy to welcome to the studio today Phil Grimmett, who lives near Ōtaki in Manukau. I first met Phil at Poetry on the Coast in Raumati, a group which is not currently meeting. I liked his strong-minded social and political poems and his style, which includes wearing a colourful beret. Though I have to say, I'm very sad that he is not wearing a colourful beret today. He is wearing a hat in the studio, though. He explained that he was new to poetry, but I could see he was used to being in front of an audience. Later, I discovered he's a musician and once played in a folk band called Jiggery Folkery. Best name for a folk band ever, I reckon. Thank you so much for coming in to share with us, Phil.
Yes, thanks for the invitation, Ingrid.
You're most welcome. And it was the piano accordion that you play, isn't it?
Yes, a little bit of guitar and singing in the band, and it ran for quite a few years.
Great, excellent. No doubt that will come up later as well. So will you tell us how you came to begin writing poetry?
Would have happened when I was driving along the road outside the Johnsonville Mall, and it was at the time that pandemic was happening and people were queued up on the footpath outside the Countdown supermarket. And what happened next, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but for some reason the national anthem of Scotland came to me and I rewrote it.
Right.
In toto, just completely with provocative words.
Yes, yes.
And it was April the 1st, believe it or not.
That's funny.
It's crazy, but times are crazy. And I think that was the most recent, but I have stumbled across a couple of ones from decades ago that I had forgotten about. There was something nascent there, lingering.
Yeah.
But never to be developed, and having tried to write poetry in the past,
yeah,
hopeless.
Right. And then so suddenly this was the moment and a whole lot of things came together and sparked you off.
I wouldn't say suddenly, it just sort of crept in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't realise it.
No. Yeah.
And what's worse, it's still creeping.
Yeah, that's great. Excellent. Well, I'm very, very pleased about that.
I'm not so sure.
So did you read poetry when you were growing up?
Being born in Scotland, it's standard practice to be reciting and learning Robbie Burns' poetry. His first published works were in Kilmarnock, which is where I was born.
Oh, wow, brilliant.
And my family actually does have a close connection. My mother basically came from Alloway in Ayr.
Yes.
It's Ayrshire.
Right.
Which is Robbie Burns' country.
Ah, excellent.
And his tongue is very broad, and unfortunately it's a bit dense and difficult to understand.
Yes.
To understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult to understand, but it's absolutely worth the effort. He's a brilliant, and he didn't live long, and his output was voluminous.
Yes, and you said that you had Robbie Burns recital competitions.
Yes, yeah, every class had a recital. You know, you end up with the class prize for the Robbie Burns recitation award, you know. And but Robbie Burns, you know, we sleek at Curran, timorous beastie, and Scots were hey were Wallace Blade, and the Selkirk grace, you know, some him eat and can eat, some would eat that want it, but we him eat and we can eat. so let the Lord bethink it. Mm. It's the sweetest, mm. profound, gracious introduction to yeah. a meal.
Yeah, yeah, mm. wonderful. So you were obviously inspired by Ravi Burns and other poets later on in your life?
Yes, I'd say influenced rather than inspired.
Mm, yeah.
But you don't realise that it's seeping in.
Yes, seeping.
Creeping in.
Seeping and creeping.
Yeah, that's yeah. right, that's right. The war poets I really felt strongly moved by the war poets, mm. which you think back then probably as, this was when I was in Christchurch actually, with Mr. Norcliffe.
Right.
The English teacher, and I really used to enjoy the English sixth form class.
Yes.
And I don't know, there wasn't many boys that were into poetry.
No, I'm sure.
But no, they did leave a big impression on me, and it's still there.
Yes. Yes, that's right. It does stay, doesn't it? Mm. That's the point.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's hear one of your poems now.
Right. Okay, this was an earlier one, probably 5 years ago. And it was basically came about as a recollection of my mother and father. And it does capture what they would say to me in a clipped fashion. Mm. And it's ended up in a poem that they will never hear. It's called Dumb and Mad. My father would say, I'll send you the bill. My mother would say, it's in the book. What chance did I have? The bills are coming, but not from him. Dad's gone. I'm not looking for the book. Mum's gone too. I'm writing this poem for you. They knew war. I don't until now. I know a lot about little that counts. What they said wasn't taught, but I learned. What they gave wasn't things, but room to play. And hey, I didn't ask for much. As life collides with time, my mind begins to see no limits to giving, no limits to free, more than books or money, money, money.
Mm. Yes, thank you. Very thought-provoking. And that was one of the poems that you wrote around the time of the pandemic, I think.
Yes. Define myself in a way as a pandemic poet.
Mm. Yeah.
But no, that seemed to flick a switch.
Mm.
And there's no off button.
No, the poems are continuing to pour out. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So the poems began to pour out. They were arriving and you were writing them down. And at some point during that COVID period, you found that you wanted to share poetry with other people. And you started a group in Ōtaki.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep,
and that group is still going and it's now being organised by Donna Peters, to whom I spoke for the previous interview.
Yes.
So there was that group. And I think that you've been involved in a poetry group in Levin as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how important have these groups been to you in terms of your poetic development?
I think it was probably... I seem to discover poets. If I was performing poetry, it just seems to attract them.
Yeah, right.
It's this very strange thing. It could happen in cafes. I do quite a bit, if I get half a chance, I'll drop a poem out there anywhere I go. And most often than not, people appreciate them. And I think performance of poetry, I have found that most poets don't seem to want to publicly perform their poetry.
Mm.
And I'm one of a few that I've found that does like, prefer and feel performance is the way for them to go.
Well, that's there's a difference between somebody who writes poetry very much for themselves and somebody who is a natural performer. You're obviously a natural performer because you've been a musician performing in a band. That's obviously very much part of your life and expressing yourself in a new way. Why would you not want to share? That's very natural for creative people with that performing bent.
Yes, well, I would have thought that would be that was my expectation, that people would want to share their poetry, but it's not a given. No, it's not.
Oh, no, no, indeed.
And I totally respect that. But if you turn up with a microphone on a stage, I would expect people to really sell it.
Yeah, right. Well, we're all going through a different journey, aren't we? And different things happen for different people at different times.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. So I'm interested when you said that you will offer a poem on different circumstances. Do you mean that would include somewhere where you were and there was no poetry going on, but simply that you're going to, like you mentioned perhaps being in a cafe maybe?
Yes.
And do you mean that you stand up and address everybody who is there or...?
No, it'd probably be more like a one-to-one. It might be a one-to-two.
Oh, yeah. Great.
It's just it's an interesting little bit of fun that you do.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, people are taken aback by it.
Yes. Well, I had a nice time a few years ago on National Poetry Day. And I decided I would go up to Coastlands and share poems with people, anyone who wanted to hear. And I actually started a bit further down in Kapiti Road with some of the businesses there. And I went into shops and I went into businesses and I said, it's National Poetry Day today. And most people didn't know. I think there were only two people who knew it was National Poetry Day. And I offered to share a poem or two. And just short poems, one of mine and one by somebody else. I had a couple of different options. And it was wonderful how that was embraced. And in something like 20 different places of business, there was only one place where they said, no, thank you, they didn't want to hear a poem today. And everybody else did. And people, some people I could tell were being rather polite and simply listening, which was great. And other people got really excited about it and were very keen. So you're doing all this on a regular, in a smaller way, but on a regular basis. So I think that's fantastic.
Well, that reminds me of the New Zealand Poetry Contest that I ran in Otaki.
Yes.
Looking for venues that are appropriate for poetry, let alone a poetry contest.
Yes.
I went round all the pubs and I was very pleased that they were all very welcoming. I thought, wow, there you go. So I had a choice of venue.
Great.
Because it was hard to find the right place for poetry. It's a very specialised niche art form.
And you did find one. And we had the contest, and
that's right,
it was very enjoyable. I was there and you kindly allowed me to do a long poem that was too long, which therefore disqualified me from the contest, but that didn't matter. I was just very happy to share my Otaki poem.
No, it was lovely.
Thank you. And yes, we heard lots of very good poems that day. It was fun to do that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I think there is a place for more poetry, actually. And I think it's a bit of a battle, unfortunately. And it's a pity it's not a more popular pastime in our culture.
You don't think it's become more popular than it was a decade or so ago? Because I think it is.
I think it might be. Yeah. Yes, I hope it is, but it might just be my personal bias.
Oh, well, I think so too. Yes. So is the, I should say that, of course, Coast Access Radio also broadcasts to the Horror Fenua. So I am interested in the poetry group in Levin. Is that still going?
No, I think that's gone into recess. I stood back from that probably Christmas or so ago.
Yeah.
I think some people did carry it on, but it's resorted back to becoming a house group.
Oh, okay.
In Levin.
Yes, and
a different kettle of fish.
Indeed.
Quite a bit. But it was amazing in the library.
Yep.
In Levin, the amount of people that were interested on the edge.
Right.
That was the interesting thing. And then you would find people just drifting in, coming out behind the bookshelves. And the security guard, he turned out to be a rap poet.
Oh, wow. That's great.
It was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And having that random aspect to it in a public place.
Yeah.
There was a couple of women sitting that just happened to be passing through.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did some poetry. And I looked to them and they were just absolutely spellbound.
Wonderful.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, what's happened here?
Yeah.
I'd actually cast a spell. I thought, wow.
That's
my
really
salsa poem, which was a song sort of a thing.
Oh, right.
That I wrote for the salsa teacher.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's hear another of your poems now, which is, I want to say it's a little surprising.
Which one? Straight Back. Okay, well, this was one that arrived actually in a bus, and we're coming back from having canoed down the Whanganui River, and we happened to be sharing the event, or the river, with a senior school group. They were going down the, and the river was in full flow, so it was quite an adventure.
Yes.
But anyway, we'll let the poem do the rest. It's called Straight Back. I stand 6 feet tall, my back is straight. I'm 16 years and I can't wait to find my way in the big picture world. I haven't a girl, I'm from a good school. I know what I want though, speaking to you. That's me. On a bus homebound from a wild river ride, I ask how it went to this handsome young man. Me, passenger poet, thinks, if I was his girl, I'd hold his hand tight. Then I pop a question. What do you want to do at the end of the year? He looked straight in my eye and with cool confidence said, I want to be a sniper, and blew me away.
Yes, indeed. Very good thing. Amazing thing to happen, really, and to write a poem about it. That's excellent. So you live in Manukau, which is officially a tiny bit north of the Kapiti coast.
The border.
The border, yes. But you're definitely a Kapiti poet with your activities in Ōtaki and sharing your poetry in other places on the coast as well. Have you lived there long, and have you lived anywhere else that is officially on the Kapiti coast?
No, it was really from Wellington. We were refugees, ended up in Manukau.
Right.
Probably for about 7 years.
Right. That's a good length of time then, isn't it?
On and off.
On and off.
Wellington, Manukau, Wellington, Manukau.
Okay. So How do you feel that living here in this area has influenced your poetry?
I think living in a quieter environment is actually quite good. I enjoy walking on the beach a lot.
Yeah.
And that's really inspiring. And a lot of it is just quiet.
Yeah.
And just idle, no thinking.
Which is great for allowing the poetry to arrive, isn't it? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Lovely. Well, let's have another of your just arrived poems based on a wonderful little occurrence.
Yes, well, this one's called Can't Fly, and it's pretty much what happens. Just seen two dragonflies embrace mid-air and gently drift to the concrete floor of my shed. It's awesome autumn in rural Otaki. Insects intersect living. There's no tomorrow here, just now. Perfectly still, resting on the concrete lotus pose, do they know? It's 30 minutes gone. No hurry up, no care, in full view. Is this what we miss? Fear of flying, meeting mid-air, still waiting for whatever flies by. 60 minutes, still there, frozen. I think they died. 120 minutes, gone. Just one jaunty dragonfly flying about. Who am I to laugh or cry at life and death, to see it rise before my eyes this day?
Thank you very much. And I've been watching those dragonflies as you've been reading the poem. It's been really great to talk with you, Phil. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Well, thanks for the invitation. And it's, there needs to be more poetry around, I think.
Yeah, I agree. In a moment, we'll finish the programme with two or maybe three short poems.
Right.
Firstly, I'd like once more to say thank you very, very much to our generous and supportive funders, the Kapiti Coast District Council for the Creative Communities Scheme funding, which comes from Creative New Zealand, the New Zealand Poetry Society, and individuals via the boosted crowdfunding platform. So tell us about the poems we're going to hear now.
Well, the next poem is a very recent one from last weekend, and it concerns my young grandson who does the park run at Otaki River on the Saturday morning. And it was inspired really by a photo that somebody posted and shows actually in mid-air. And this was the inspiration for this short poem. It's called Leo Flying. How does he do it? 2 feet in mid-air. Does he know it's flying without an earthly care? He's smiling too, too easy to bother with the ground. When gravity is meaningless, where youthful joy abounds. This is for Leo's little sister. And Hazel was 2 years old at that time. She's now 7, so there you go. She's hyperactive like her brother. It's called My Beautiful, sweeter than sweet, brighter than hope, love beyond love. I see in your joy to jump and smile, sing and dance, at peace with no thought of what's ahead. Old heads droop and look away. Yours looks at life as it is today, bringing new tears to my old eyes.
You have been listening to Kapiti Poets, a programme highlighting both established and up-and-coming writers of poetry on the Kapiti Coast.
This programme was produced at and first aired on Coast Access Radio with support from New Zealand On Air.